In case you guys don't know, this is Innovation Crush. Thank you all, 7 of you, for being here. 10, I think Bentley counts as like 2 or 3. I feel like a never-ending story. That's the first thing that comes to mind with your dog.
That's what everyone says, Falcor.
See? Yeah, Falcor, see, yes. That's right, no.
Yeah.
So in case you guys are unaware, the show covers all things innovation, creativity, ideas, smart people doing smart stuff. And you've been a guest on the show before. So
once.
Yeah, well, once is good.
I just see you all the time. So it feels like we do things.
Hey, Bart.
Is this recording already at this point?
I think so. Yeah, there's a nod in the back. Otherwise, cool. We just talk for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess what is... what's flow?
These are my words, my intent. They're awesome. It's an awesome company. Where they're bracelets that where you choose your word, your intent.
Yours is float.
Float. Oh. Floats.
I want to float. Beer float.
Flow. And then what else do I have? Presence. And I've had gratitude as well. But I left my gratitude bracelet at the Integratron in. Joshua Tree, yeah.
Oh, see, he knows.
Yeah.
So let's start with a little bit of one-on-one, then yeah. I'm sure we'll weave these things back in.
Sure.
I would love for you guys to give a little bit of a 101 on who you are and what you do for those that somehow may be living under a rock and not know.
Well, I mean, if you don't watch YouTube, then you wouldn't know who I am probably. But on YouTube, that is what I do. I have a channel. It's called Bart Baker. Music video parodies are my thing. I am about to hit 10 million subscribers, so that'll be fun. Got to have a party or something.
I was going to say, is it going to be like a 10 million subscriber moment?
You got to do something.
We should definitely have a party.
What's
trending will host your party.
Okay. Yeah, let's do
whatever
that.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, but I've been doing YouTube for 7 years, and it's just social media is a roller coaster. It's up and down. It's crazy. It's a crazy ride, that's for sure.
I will say that it took me about a good 10 minutes to figure out if that was really Taylor Swift or not.
Oh, yeah. So, that video I just put up?
Yeah,
dude, like, so many people were tricked. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was basically like Taylor Swift watching a parody video of him.
Like reacting
to it. It has like
like
1.1 million views on it. Like you put it up yesterday?
Yeah.
So
I got him.
Got him. All right, your turn, Shira.
Go.
Top that.
I'm just focused on Bart. My name is Shira Lazar. I'm a broadcaster, interviewer, host, focusing on digital media. And I also have a company called What's Trending. We're a publisher that is focused on digital and social media. We produce a lot of videos focusing on millennials. So around the social water cooler.
The social water cooler.
Yeah, a lot of buzzwords.
So you've both been in the game for a minute, right? 7 years.
Yeah.
How long did you start?
I started doing online video like over 10 years ago. Like YouTube wasn't even around. There's just QuickTime videos and
MySpace.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of websites that had video, but there was no embed. It was right. Like literally you clicked on and downloaded a file.
No, I remember that's how I got the 2 Girls, 1 Cup video.
Yeah. E-bombs world. Wasn't that like one of the first ones? Yeah.
But What's Trending started in 2011.
Still around too, somehow.
No, but here's what's interesting. I think you kind of stayed in the same lane, which is interesting to kind of keep this, you know, the same voice going. And you've evolved and changed and adapted.
I go in many lanes, like, Bart. You just stay in your lane. You play it safe.
but it's like what he had works, and then you kind of explore it. But it's an interesting dynamic that, in one sense, is like, I'm going to just keep giving the people what they want, what I know they need,
right.
What they know me for. And you're like, all right, what's out there that I should be exploiting and thinking about?
Well, it's also because it wasn't like I was getting, like I had 10 million subscribers. Like we have... I would say across different platforms and with me a few million followers overall. But for me, it was always like, okay, I got this. This is interesting, but there's more. For me, there was always more to navigate. And I was always interested to see what the new thing was. And I was curious about that. And I was curious about emerging communities. And that really led me to diving into new things all the time.
And what was your, what's the method to your madness? So like, and is there something else that like there's in the Bart vault?
Oh, yeah.
That you're like, shit, I wish I could do this. But.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's going on actually. Like, the method to my madness is, yeah, I mean, sticking for my chance. What is that? For those who can't see what's happening, Shira just like pulled a bunch of mucus off of our dog.
So. And put it right next
and
to
put
the
it right next to the water.
So
visualize that. So Yeah. So the parody stuff I've been doing for a minute. I mean, you know, seven years. And it's a format that really doesn't go away. There's a lot of formats on YouTube that get old and people will stop watching. And you have to switch it up. With the parodies, it's kind of there's always the next pop song to make fun of, you know? Always. You have to get a little bit more creative with the way you do it because people are always expecting more, which is hard because it's like, how do you top this and how do you top that? And it's kind of like you got to stop worrying as much about the views at some point because it's consuming.
Yeah. Well, and how do you tap into like the well of creativity in a narrow space? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the way that I do them is, it's kind of like they've evolved into like a musical of sorts. So there's like the beginning, middle, and the end is crazy and there's a twist and everyone's kind of waiting to see what will happen this time. Like my last video, Kanye West dies, comes back as Jesus and turns Taylor Swift into a cat. So, you know, that was one that seemed,
totally makes seemed sense.
Like it made total sense.
He does shot for shot based on the music video. He does shot for shot and then there's always a twist ending.
Yeah. So that format works still and it's I don't see it ever stopping, but that being said, YouTube changes so much. Every month, it's different. So I actually am launching a new series on my channel this coming week that it's kind of like The Soup. Remember The Soup?
Yeah,
but it's about, but it's based around all like the beef that's going on YouTube and all of these. I mean, you know, some of these vloggers who I literally can't, I don't understand how people are even watching them and can stomach it. It's kind of taking the worst.
Don't you do vlogs?
Well, but I'm not making fun of her.
Yeah, but you can make fun of me and then I'll get more views. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a win-win. So it's like it's taking what I already do is like roasting celebrities and now I'm going to actually roast other YouTubers, which people really, really like right now. That is the hot thing to do on YouTube. So I'm switching it up a little bit with that format.
So, Shira, like kind of the same vein, you know, what, how have you evolved? Because I remember like early on, it was like very, sort of tech focused and like
news. We were with CBS News when we started.
Yeah. And then you started jumping on platforms like Lively and Musical.ly and so on and so forth. And the conversation changed a little bit. Like what went into some of those decisions?
Definitely,
that you made
I think the past year or so, we've even gotten more comedic in how we cover things. I think, we launched our show originally. It was a weekly live show with CBS News. So if you can imagine being, you know, in my, I was like mid late 20s with the CBS News as my boss, you know, the amount of, I guess, pressure to uphold or be that brand and be more of a serious newscaster. And I was also trying to find my voice at the time. And I think now as I've evolved and it's, you know, a few years later, I won't age myself, but
17 years later.
No, it's not. I just like it myself. I've realized I'm like more comfortable with who I am, which means I can sometimes be thoughtful. I want to be informative, but I also am a goofball. I like being funny, sarcastic, a bit sassy. And so how do I blend all those parts of me into the content I do? And I think we're definitely at a time where people don't want things like straight. They want the news and the information with a point of view. People like comedy and I tend to like a lot of the content that I consume is comedic. So definitely the past year having, you know, being on Musical.ly, which is very young, it's like 13 to 18 and it started with lip sync videos and moved on to comedy.
Like younger than that. It's like it's even 4 younger, to 8.
Yeah. No,
but I think like, it's aging down.
It started being a safe place for me to experiment with that side of me. And then as I saw that side of me coming out, I started really embracing it and I started to get more of a community being built around that. And I think that really started to give me the freedom to say to myself, it's okay to be that way. Like you don't need to be
is it
so safe.
Yeah. Cause I was on a panel earlier here at the podcast festival about diversity. And one of the things that obviously comes up is your voice. Who are you as a host, or as a entertainer, as a provider of information? And I think you tapped into something that's like, who am I as an individual? Like really learning who that is.
And it takes years. I mean, it's a constant journey, right? And so how do you, if we allow that journey to happen in real life, why are we always stalling that journey when we're as a professional? So I think we tend to get attached to who we think people love and who has brought us success. So whatever that person is, that image. So maybe I've been successful at different points, but I think that I need to figure out who I am throughout that whole thing and stick with that.
Bart, do you feel that same kind of pressure? You know, because especially like you said, just kind of topping the next one, but like making sure the audience is fresh and entertained and like it doesn't get stale.
Of course. I mean, it's the audience kind of every year, it's like a certain amount of people will drop off and stop watching because they could just grow out of YouTube maybe. Because the, you know, there's certain people who watch are very young, and like my demographic is 13 to 18, 18 to 25. And then 25 to 35 is the third biggest.
Basically 13 to 35.
I think I'm neither one of those groups,
but it's mainly the middle. So no matter what, there's going to be like turnover every year where you have to keep on bringing in a new audience. Even if you have that many
subscribers. Does that mean you don't age?
What? Yeah, that's right. I don't age. I don't age. Yeah, that's
well, because you try to.
Yeah, vampire. That's the trick. But there's it's constant pressure always because it's also like you compare yourself to other people around you in the space, and it's like, oh well, this guy gets this many views in a day, so I really need to step my game up. Like something must be wrong with my content, you know. But it's. And that state of mind is not good. It's really, it's not.
Yeah, because I do the same thing. Like every episode of my show I publish, I'm like, the first week, I'm like just multiple times a day looking to see how it's going. At some point in time, I stopped, right? But it's still in the back of your head.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like, it's kind of, I mean, people just do that. You compare yourself to other people as how they're doing compared to you.
You have to one up yourself. Like, yeah, but the comparison you should
that's the most the most important thing is that is actually just comparing yourself to yourself. But it's really hard not to look at everyone else around you. I think that when I focus on just topping myself as opposed to topping this dude who's blew up in like a month and now he has like 6 million subscribers, like that's an anomaly. Like, I shouldn't even be comparing myself to people like that.
Also, it's a distraction. So
it's total distraction.
I think that all entrepreneurs, you don't need to be a creator to deal with this. I think whatever field you're in, it's easy to just get distracted and be constantly looking at what other people are doing instead of focusing on what you need to do and what your value is.
You can take some inspiration from those people, but,
I'd like to think of it as almost like a friendly competition. When when I see somebody coming up, I'm like, all right, like, what do I have access to? What can I do? Where can I turn my little creative brain on?
Yeah, be aware. Look at that as a way, like, in the end, we tend to not get like lazy, but if we're doing well, it like plateaus and at a certain point, we're like, oh, this works. Like we see, and we tend to not challenge ourselves to get to that next level unless someone pushes us to. So how
you can get on autopilot really easily.
Yeah, you get very much
on YouTube. Like if you're putting out like certain content and you're doing it for a long time, it can turn into a thing where it's like you're just like a factory and you almost lose the passion. You know,
you should always have new goals. Always have goals that you want to reach and a timeline to reach them.
How does that work for you? Like, what's the actuality of you, either of you, like goal setting and like making sure you measure it? Because a lot of us, we were talking in the hallway earlier, just like, oh, you just get a mic and you start recording, from a podcast.
Well, yeah, you just have to do. Right? Acting is a big part of it.
Yes, doing is one thing. But then at a certain point, you start to like really measure and try to expand more deliberately.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys have a trick or methodology you use for goal setting?
There's no trick. I mean, literally writing it out, saying every month, what goal do I want to hit? And then, but not just saying I wanted to set these goals, but then there's sub actions within that action. So like, okay, so I want to hit grow 5,000 more over the next month. Okay, so what's the thing I'm going to do this week? So am I going to get in touch with other partners to do collab, like sharing? Maybe I need better guests. So in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to start booking a weekly guest that it reaches this many people. So you have to have like
you still haven't booked me yet. So I must not be able to move the needle for you.
I'm just saying an example.
What's the deal,
that's
Sharon?
Totally an example. But a lot of people create these big actions without any sub actions within the bigger action. And then they're like, oh, why aren't I hitting that? You're like, well, there's a lot of little mini things you need to do to get there that you're not even setting that little action. So you just expect it to come. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
Just say what she said.
So all that stuff.
What she said.
All this, yeah, exactly. All that stuff sounds exhausting, right? Because you want to be the creator, but then you have to be the CEO of me and the CEO of like in your.
You know what they say. You know what they say. If it's to be, it's up to me.
Yes.
So I think that it looks.
Somebody's been looking at Instagram. positive quotes.
They do say
before
that.
She walked
no,
in
the whole thing is it. I think you need to change. It's like fortunately, unfortunately, change your perception. if it becomes, and we're kind of, we're in this leadership training that we're doing right now, but it's all about changing the I have to's until it to I get to do this. I get to do that. If everything's not have to, it becomes like you're being forced to do it. It's like a task instead of like an opportunity.
This is no, one of my favorite quotes is change the way you look at things and the things you look at will begin to change.
Yeah.
And it's like, I literally in the hallway, it was like, I don't want to do social media. I just want to do the jokes. I want to be fun. And it's like, you kind of just have to, but you get to. That's created something.
It's also, that's a platform to share whatever your voice is and what you want. And then you know, at a certain point, I think you need to figure out what your vision is, like what you actually want for yourself in the world. And maybe the things that you thought were part of that aren't part of that. And maybe you, at a certain point, you let that go, but you have to be realistic with yourself.
The bar, have you?
Sorry, about? Is this becoming an intervention for you?
No, I'm fine. I'm not. I won't cry until after I leave. How's your like the business side of Bart grown in the past 7 years, and how, what do you understand?
Oh,
and what
for
do you
sure.
Have to adjust and grow.
Well, I mean, a lot of things have changed. I started shooting stuff in my backyard on a green screen. When I was out of college, and you know, I was spending like $100 maximum a video, and then I signed with Maker Studios, and rest in peace.
They ended up dissolving into Disney. Yeah, they Disney. Got bought by Disney, and Disney just
so like they funded all my content for 5 years, and they were getting like we were doing full blown recreations of the videos, like getting the original costumes, finding the sets, like everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were expensive. Like some of them were six figure shoots. So you know, thanks to Maker for, well, Disney. Thank you, Mickey. but anyway, so they got dissolved, and I kind of recently, in the past 6 months, I've started funding everything myself out of pocket.
Not six figures.
No, I figured out.
You went back to the $100 route.
I figured out how to do it.
This is why we got you to get
cheaper.
The iced Americanos, Chris. Thank you.
No problem.
My one Starbucks I've had all week.
I'm going to charge you back to the PodFest.
There's a lot.
Can I do that? Is that possible?
There's a lot of ways to make these videos for really cheap if you're not getting like $30,000 Disney insurance. You know what I mean? So things like that. So the business itself in the past 6 months has drastically changed for me. I've switched everything up from my lawyers, my agents, my managers, everything in the past 6 months.
But was that easy?
It was hard. It was hard at first, but it has to happen. You can't stay. You have to switch up at some point or else.
But you fought that. Bart fought that. For
I was going to say, I was going to ask, like, what was the tipping point, right? Where you go like, I can't continue to do
she
all this stuff.
She was going
to
break
like,
up with me.
I don't, you know, that it was just like, I was just kind of fed up with how things were going with certain aspects of stuff as far as the YouTube and just my career in general. So I wanted to just switch everything up, and Maker disappeared. So I figured this is the time to just do it. Let's just switch up everything. And you know what? It's been really good. The videos are doing better than they ever have. And, you know, it's probably because I don't have a legal team looking at every lyric and saying, I can't do this, or I can't murder Donald Trump in this video, which they would say, so, you know, stuff like that, which would make people laugh, but I couldn't do it. So, but you know, the business itself is very complicated and it's kind of scary. People kind of don't realize, especially when you're new into the business, you don't realize that, yeah, you need all these things in place. You do need a legal team, and you need management, and you need a network that can support you if you have complicated shoots and things like that. So, yeah, I think
you deal with claims and write stuff. So even on YouTube, even what Trending deals with that, where we get a claim or a copyright. And, like, and we're now with a new network that is very hands-on, and that really helps. So stuff like that, it takes the pressure and it takes the time off of your, you know, your workload so you can focus on other things in the business. So I don't need an employee on my team focused on that as much because we're part of a network. So you find efficiencies that way.
Congratulations on being in the gas stations. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which people don't get. So we have a partnership with Verifone and Gas Station TV, which is like having a partnership with like a billboard company. Like it becomes a billboard. It's been great marketing.
What I was going to ask is, you know, no, as you diversify and start to venture into other platforms, and I saw like you're part of EscapeX, or at least at some point where there's thousands. You didn't tell her.
It's an app. It's the app that I need to be using more because
Oh, is this your own app?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was supposed to post today. I forgot already.
I was going to say, like, this is where a lot of additional work comes in and decision making.
Yeah.
Right? How do you decide which other platforms you're going to start embracing or not?
Right.
Or,
well, that's definitely, like, there's only so much you can do, right? It's like, where do you focus your attention? And there's, for example, like, I stopped posting on Snapchat as frequently because Snapchat and Instagram are now the same thing. And which one's going to last? I'm going to bet on Instagram. So it's like, it's instead of doing the same thing twice, it's more efficient to figure out which one you actually want to focus on more. And it's also hard figuring out which platforms are, when they're new, to focus on. Like when Musical.ly popped up, it's like, should I do this? Because it's a lot of time. Even though it's simple, but it's still like you have to build that audience, and it's a lot. It's like dedication, going live on there and taking hours to do that. So it's hard to pick and choose because you don't want to be on the next Vine, right?
That's true too. And you've explored a lot, like it just,
yeah. You know. For us, is there an audience? Is there, well, audience equals impact, right? And then is there revenue? So ideally it hits both, but it needs to at least hit one or the other in a big way. So if there's, you know what I mean? Like if there's barely any audience, but it's good revenue, if there's a revenue opportunity, I'm like, I'm open. But ultimately, like, and ideally it's both. And we've been very fortunate lately, the past year, we've been able to really monetize off rev share deals on these platforms where our content is really being embraced. So we, Twitter, we're making money on Twitter video, which is amazing. We're making money on Watchable, which is Comcast, which now is more Xfinity. And from now, I'm like, okay, I can make obviously revenue through brand deals and integrations and all that. But how do I get our content to more places where we can make that money as well? So yeah, it's interesting. It's good.
Well, speaking of money, I mean, especially as with podcasting being such a young industry, young by comparison, you know, but I mean, there's people here who've had shows for 10 years, you know, and eventually there's only a few that can actually make a career out of that only. But a lot of that comes from brands and ads and all that stuff. So
right.
Just walk us through a little bit of the decision-making processes that go when brands come to the table. Cause I've sat in meetings with you where, you know, you're pitching what's trending, and it's an interesting to sit there with the host.
Yeah, thanks. But you never gave me any feedback.
It was good. I was good.
I'm kidding. Yeah. But no, it's interesting because we're a boutique. We're not like, you know, you see huge companies like a BuzzFeed, obviously, like all the companies that you hear about, right? Vox, or I don't know. Now we're all competing against the same money. Right. So there's even CNN's, or I'm trying to think of other companies.
There's a few out there.
Yeah, there's a few out there. So, you know, I say we're a boutique publisher, so we're not necessarily scaled, but we are one of the only publishers where some of the biggest influencers follow what's trending and have been on what's trending. So to tap into that and the potential. Barb Baker. No, okay. I don't
That's
know.
It.
Mark Cuban.
That's where it stops.
Tyler Oakley, Mark Cuban, Shaq. I'm trying to think.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
People.
I don't know. Joan Rivers.
7 years later, three names.
No. There's so
the same people over and over.
Kendrick Lamar was on What's Trending.
Really? When?
Years ago. It was right before he like literally broke. A week before he broke. You can go see
him and Eric.
Tim and Eric have been on. I mean,
that was the best show ever.
I was going to say not Chancellor. Well,
I just wanted to put it in perspective
Big
for the
Sean.
Audience, especially because that becomes a value to brands,
Jared
right?
Jared Leto.
You know, even more so than your audience,
Will
I would imagine. I get it.
I'm trying to think of everyone. Yeah, no, and it's also that we've been in the creator space for a long time. We have a credibility and relevance, and yeah, we're not as huge, but people trust us, and so that goes a long way. So our expertise is definitely in live streaming. I think live streaming, we've been doing it from the beginning. We've gotten nominated for Emmy, won multiple awards, and really tapping into social video as it relates to the creator space.
And the interesting thing, though, is that the reason I said you're right, we sat in pitch meetings, because like you still have to go through the cycle, you know, and
it always changes. Like that's the thing. Like my pitch 6 months ago is different from my pitch now. And I mean, who we are remains the same, but I'm open. I'm malleable. I'm open to like what is possible and how things can evolve. So yeah, going back to brands, I mean, we're pitching brands for integrations for now. We did a partnership with Circa Sinclair, a Sinclair Broadcasting Company. And so we now have access to media. So that's part of it. We weren't having conversations with more on the media side, which is where a lot of the money is. So we'd be looked at as, oh, PR, social, oh, you're cute. And now we have like an access to a much bigger audience. So that's exciting for me.
Bart Baker and brands.
You know, I haven't gotten super, super involved with brands yet.
As much as you could be.
As much as I could be.
How big he is, he could be.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of actual, mismanagement from my previous MCN. I'm not going to name any names, but I already said them anyway. So I've done a good amount of brand deals, but like this, the next year, it's going to be really, really big focus for me, especially since now I'm funding everything myself. So yeah. In the past just couple months, I've been doing brand deals that cover the cost of the shoots plus, you know, it'll cover probably like 5 shoots per brand deal, which is great. And like simple integrations, like we did one for the DJ Khaled, I'm the One parody, where at the beginning, he...
It's hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. So you see at the beginning, he was on an app. That was an integration.
Yeah. It was Yarn?
It's Yarn. Yarn, yes. It's like a text message story app.
What's interesting is Bart's now looking at it, you're looking at it as a business. So you're looking, okay, I'm getting this one chunk of money from a brand. It covers this shoot, but how many other shoots does it cover? So now I'm like, I could be open the next 2 months. I don't need to be worrying about doing those shoots.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another reason, though, why actually going totally solo without funding from a network like Maker is in the long run.
Bye, Josh better. Levine from Rebel Radio.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
What did you just do?
That was Taylor Swift's voice. Yeah, but that's why it's better to sometimes it's better to go solo. So you because you start to like just lean on that and you don't even think about it, the cash flow, because it's just like everything's funded. So once I actually started funding stuff, then I'm much more proactive going after the brand deals. Yeah.
Part of the reason you guys keep talking over each other and you know each other so well is because you're dating.
Yes. We're not talking over each other. We're just adding to each other's
conversations. No, we're talking over each other a couple times.
Right. We're rude. Well, it's mostly me. I'm the rude
No,
one.
I talk over you too.
You just, I mean, that's true. You do.
See what I mean?
More than I do, actually. I just didn't want to get in trouble.
Wow.
What is dating like being sort of social media famous, if not otherwise famous? You know,
our dog has 20,000 followers.
You're a handsome fellow. You're an attractive woman. There's YouTube comments. There's all sorts of people coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an issue or not, but just out of curiosity, you know, what's the dynamic like?
And I think it's actually
work together too, which is interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes we do. I think it's a good thing, honestly, in my opinion.
You better think it's a good thing.
Because it helps when you actually know, like, we know so much about what we do because we do this, we're in the same industry. So we're able to support and help each other in certain ways. And, like, Shira knows everyone in the entire world. So if I ever need to get, let's say, monetized on Twitter, you know, she could probably hook that up. Or, you know, maybe do a deal with Watchable. Why aren't they having my videos on there?
They just shut down to go to Xfinity.
Oh, forget it. But yeah, like stuff like that.
You just like bring.
There's a, like, you know, when she needs to vent, I know what she's venting about, you know, because most people would be like, what the hell are you talking about? What's a CPM?
Do you become a solver in those moments or do you become a listener?
It depends. Today I solved something for you.
I try to make him go from a listener to a solver.
But we never know, like which version of ourselves we're supposed to be.
Well, I will tell him. I will tell him if I want him to
depends
listen.
Depends on the day.
Here, or if I'm like, no, I need you to support this and like help me. I want to get your thoughts because Bart is so smart. So obviously, I'm like, hello, like I could use your brain on this. And so, yeah, for me, it's definitely helpful. It's funny because we're in the same industry, but we're doing it different things. enough of different things that it doesn't, like, we don't step on each other.
Right. And that would be a mess.
Even though, listen, Bart, like, it's funny because Bart's goals, I mean, he has 10 million followers, I mean, subscribers on YouTube. Like, what's trending
doesn't.
Almost
10 million.
Almost.
He's, yeah.
And so I think
there's a big difference.
There have been times, though, when I wasn't necessarily in a good place mentally where I looked at that and I was like, you're just doing so well and I can't ever get there. And that was when I was, I think, mentally putting myself there. It's easy to go there. But when I'm in a better place, in a more positive place, when I look at it as more like, oh my God, how can we support each other? So how can we be there for each other instead of looking at it as like a negative or a competition? Because we're doing such different things. And once again, there's a place for all of us. And yeah, we both bring different things to the table. And so he even comes to my studio to shoot stuff. And when I need his support to share things or boost things or be a guest last minute, he's there. So we're really, I feel like we found like a happy medium, because we do know couples that it can get competitive or all you're doing
also,
is talking about, all you're doing is talking about
work. There's like, also the couples that they become big on social media based on the fact that they're a couple.
Yeah, and their identity is wrapped around that.
That's dangerous.
So, like, we also, I think the reason why a lot of people actually don't think that we collab enough, they're like, why don't you take advantage that Bart's your boyfriend more, blah, blah. And we're like, because we actually care about developing with each other beyond all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, right. We actually spend time.
It's a real relationship. So you're like, all right, let's separate. But you know, just having the wherewithal to be mindful of that and, like, know what all those potholes are, like, that's kudos to both of you.
Thanks.
You
know. Yeah, so it's interesting. I think there's a lot of people that are in that, and that, or you hear about them being a couple, but they're not really a couple. They're doing it for social media. That could be something to fall into. Or how many times do fans of yours go like, oh, you haven't collabed with Bart in a while. Are you guys broken up?
For sure.
We haven't done anything in a while. And I'm like, no, we don't do everything together, you know?
Right.
So it could be a lot of pressure, or like the fear of if something ever happens, like everyone would be like, oh my God.
But, yeah, that is, yeah. You know, just kind of along those same lines of partnerships beyond your relationship, right? There's a lot of collaboration that happens in the space, you know, even in the podcast world, it's like, let's be a guest on each other's show. Let's, you know, cross promote. But there's, you know, especially when you have 10 million followers and you have like multiple platforms you're on, like, there's a lot of people that come out the woodworks like, hey, it's your Uncle Ray. You want to put me on your show?
Or people that definitely reach out to me like, oh, can we get Bart involved with this? But I'm actually surprised with, you know, once again, he said on the brand stuff or the doors I will open, and I don't even have as many followers as you. I always go, whenever Bart says like, oh, I can't do that, or people don't support me in this way, I'm like, Bart, if I can figure it out and make money, you can figure it out and make money.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about like recently.
I was going to ask that, but I'm the host, but thank you.
Like what parts? Like what things? I want to know.
No, it's saying when, like, you were going through a rough time, you're like, oh, no one wants to work with me. No one wants this. No one wants that. And I go, that's all in your head. Because once again, if I can make it work, you know,
yeah,
you can make it work.
It's just really hard to tell in this industry if people actually like you or if they just want to be, you know, it's the same. It's all of.
It's Hollywood. Like it's
yeah.
Or I mean, like if you achieve a certain level of success and people start to get close to you, you're like,
right,
what is the reason you're actually here? So you know, but how do you go about that, making that decision to say, yes, I will take this
sure
further?
Sure, right. That's the thing. It's all it's so much based on just how it benefits your, you know, you, and then how it benefits them.
It needs to be a win-win.
Yeah.
Whenever a situation comes up or an opportunity that it feels like a win-lose on either side, it's never going to be a long-term thing. I don't feel like it's sustainable. So that's why I try to find things that are win-wins, because I just feel like that makes sense. And then everyone's in it together. It's collaborative.
Great.
Yeah.
There you go. No, so I mean, what's next for? Well, you guys did the Sephora thing. That's what I was going to ask you about.
But that wasn't a brand thing. That was just.
Oh, you just did your own Sephora and like put makeup on each.
Yeah, so I've started to see.
Oh, Sharon makes me be in those videos, and where she like does makeup.
I think
makeup.
It's funny. So I've started. My goal recently was to do more on my personal channel, because I watch training, obviously, and that has grown, but I haven't put as much attention on my personal channel. And so I started doing beauty stuff with my boyfriend. It's called Beauty and the Boyfriend. And so where I try on
pretty creative title. you really outdid yourself on that.
And so
it's really good.
I, because I do like, I'm not like a
trademark
intense,
that, by the way.
I'm not an intense beauty person, trust me, but I love trying out new trendy things. So, and I find it fun to do it with Bart, and Bart loves trying those things as well. Bart likes trying on masks.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, look at him.
I love it.
So I started doing
I love those weird masks.
So we did the bubble mask. You know that bubble mask that was big?
Everybody here know the bubble mask?
It was like a bubble mask, and we did that
the
together.
This is the bubble mask audience.
So then I did, then the one we did from Sephora, I just went and I was like, what's your new hot item that everyone is like, is going to be talk about? It's a great Instagram picture. And they said these rubber masks. So we tried that and we're going to try another blue, bright blue one soon. And
they're horrifying. They make you look like you're going to kill someone.
Yeah. So we did that. And yeah, I guess big picture, I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, sure. If this grows, I know that maybe there's a brand sponsor there. But for now, we're just doing it for fun. I'm literally just doing it because I have a goal of posting every week now and I have fun doing it. And I get to express myself in a way that I don't get to otherwise.
Aside from views, what other forms of engagement do you look for, hope for with audience? I mean, I know your tweets get like hundreds and hundreds of like engagements, but like what are those other indicators of success? And do those even back into like business conversation, you know?
I mean, for YouTube, it's not just about views. It's also the ratio of likes to dislikes and comments. As well.
Shares also.
Shares. Yeah. Like that's all the stuff that figures in. So the way you get most of your views on YouTube now isn't even from your subscribers. It's from being recommended in the algorithm.
Or search.
Yeah. Or the search. The search is SEO. And the other thing that is now massive is like on the homepage now, it's like recommended. You know what I mean? So if you're subscribed to me and you actually watch me, then every time I upload, it'll show up in my recommended, in your recommended. You won't even have to go to the subscription tab.
Right.
But if people took a break from watching you, then your subscribers won't even know you posted.
Kind of sucks.
Potentially. So the best way on YouTube isn't just views. It's watch time too is really important. Watch time. So even if you get a view and it's 10 seconds, if they watch 10 seconds, YouTube's not going to consider that a good video to suggest to other people. So actually the engagement thing on YouTube that's the most important is watch time right now.
YouTube's the hardest. So Facebook, obviously, like I'm more on Facebook than you are. It's definitely shares. Like you might have a video, like you know that a video has potential if the shares are a lot in the comments, but I would say shares specifically. But once again, Facebook is limiting because they're prioritizing a lot of people that spend money. So there's a lot of different things happening in the space.
No, it's weird because, I mean, every platform acts differently and they all drive to, you know, toward one another.
Yeah.
With the end goal of, like, I guess being views on the content, right?
That platform. Goal? No, the goal of each platform is to get people staying on that platform.
Because I'm this is just kind of for the audience, but I think about with podcasting being such a young industry, I don't know if we have that yet. So, you know,
I don't know. Leo Laporte was doing podcasting.
Algorithmic, you know.
Leo Laporte was doing podcasting 12 years ago.
Sure, yeah, Leo Laporte, yeah.
But you mean, I think it's not necessarily young. It just maybe hasn't had its crazy scaling and success.
Right. And
other
young in the sense of where like iTunes or SoundCloud starts to make those sorts of algorithmic recommendations. Like it's to an extent, but not to the same degree of a
Spotify, right. I guess, is starting to. I'm surprised that I had heard that Facebook was going to start doing audio, but I don't know. It would be smart for someone to plant a flag in that way.
There's a lot of, there's a hospital employee, there's a foodie, there's somebody from the LA Times here.
Oh, hey.
What kind of topics have you seen sort of work in? I mean, I know in the parody world, but even like parody wise, you're still like DJ Khaled was eating hamburgers during the whole video, right? Like, are there certain topics of interest that you point to in culture that, you know, inform how you create content?
Yeah, I mean, we're always looking, obviously, at what's trending on, what's being shared and talked about on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, YouTube. Although YouTube, even front page, how they curate is very much they curate. You think it's algorithmic, but
you mean the trending page.
Yeah, the trending page isn't really what is trending because there are people that are getting many more views, but they're not chosen to be on the trending page.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. So, or
you don't need it,
or the content copy.
Right. But the people who do, well, the funny thing about the trending page on YouTube is it actually doesn't really help that much, which is interesting that people don't actually look at the trending page and click the videos. As much as you would think.
Mainstream media and brands do. So that's what...
Yeah, mainstream media and brands do. So that's why it's like always like the Ellen show.
I look at the recommended, like when you first log in, like the homepage, but there's no way I can get to all this stuff.
So
there's a lot.
Usually I'm going to YouTube to look for something else anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's certain like a level of flaw.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I would say for us, what gets a lot of clicks, typically controversy, anything controversial, unfortunately,
YouTube's all about controversy, right?
Yeah, I would
especially say, especially right now, more than
moments
ever.
Moments that are caught on camera or fails,
right.
Or crazy viral moments, not necessarily gone right. Typically, it's gone wrong.
Well, funny, like on the panel I was on earlier, we were talking about like none of us are political shows at all. And like the moment one of the hosts like decided to have a political opinion, like the comments went crazy. Like, how dare you? And blah, blah, blah. This is
sure.
But it's
you're
like
more engaged, right?
As yeah. I was going to say, like, there's a balance there of like what's good engagement or not.
Right. It seems like the more offensive you are, the more engagement you get. It's like, it's just kind of how it works on YouTube because then you get
people arguing people with fighting. Each other in the comments.
If people fight with each other, it's good because then they keep refreshing and going back.
Which is sad because yeah. media is now propagating sad. That type of conversation, right?
Yeah, we're victims of our own society.
Yeah, so...
I think it's too deep for the show, but...
This is getting too
deep. but it's true. I want to go to questions while we have a few more minutes left. Anyone have any questions? Or otherwise, I can keep going. But
we have a reporter from the LA Times here. Do you have any questions?
Clint, question. You have a question, Clint?
He's like, it's Sunday, man.
Oh.
Oh, we got, yes. Where is it going? Okay. Where is this, like, in 5 years,
where do each of
you imagine you're going to be spending
your time doing? Yeah. That's a great question.
I see a lot of companies like mine. I see both things happening. People are going more independent, but then a lot of people are getting, you know, bought and partnering with bigger companies or getting investment from bigger companies. We see Casey Neistat, who's a huge independent creator, and he's still continuing on his own, yet he's part of, you know, CNN. We see Philip DeFranco, who's a huge YouTuber that was with Discovery, and he branched off from them, and he's going to try it on his own again, and it's going to be funded by his community. Now, he's able to do that. I don't think that everyone can do that. The same with Young Turks. However, Young Turks just raised a shit ton of money.
Again.
And so at a certain point, I'm wondering, will they go public? I mean, how do they continue to fund this unless they get acquired? Unless they are going to need to continue raising. And that's all stressful in itself. So I see a lot of people joining forces, like smaller companies joining forces to create a bigger network. And maybe new, bigger companies will be created when that happens. We're going to have to make a decision whether we join forces with the networks that have been around, like the NBC Unis or, you know, / Comcast, the Verizons, Viacoms or Turners or Tribunes. Like, do we start a new, huge company that will now become a legacy company?
Watch out
so I think
snow.
That's going to be a lot of the conversations that everyone's going to be having. I think that brands are going to become more specific with what they need. There was definitely the gold rush of brand spending with a lot of influencers and companies, and data. They're going to need the data to back up that spending. And I think that right now we rely on brands for a lot of money. And the worry I have is I don't think that's going to stay the way it is, right? I think that companies are going to have to place bets and commit to building what they want to build. I think so many big companies are so relying on brands and making money right off the bat without putting together any real bets. So they're going to have to diversify how they make their money. So is it events? Is it maybe products? Is it merchandise? They're going to get much smarter with creating technologies, the actual publishers and companies, instead of just relying on brands.
While he's petting Bentley, I'm going to.
And I would say also betting on the communities. I think people are going to realize how important it is to grow real loyal communities and viewership. And those numbers mean something. That they mean that you need to listen to your viewers. It means you need to have a conversation with your viewers. They're just not like a number in data. They're not part of stats or, you know, an Excel spreadsheet, but they're people. And you need to blend them into what you're doing in order, I think, to survive and sustain. Yeah, face yeah. on the faceless.
You forget.
But I do get scared. Yeah. I do think Facebook's going to come more into the media zone. Apple is already. The fear I have definitely is, while we have these big companies, I do think that Facebook, Google, and Apple are trying to own everything and own the process. And they're, yeah, the pipes go back to them. So they were rebelling against what was created, and yet they're creating now the pipes to veer more towards them. So I think we're going to have in 5 to 10 years another rebellion, right? That's what always happens every 5 years. 5 to 10 years.
And I think about, you know, for me personally, I look at this idea of personal brand, right? Yes, there's a business side of it. What platforms are going to be, how to keep your audience engaged. But then, you know, who are you as a voice, as a talent, as a thinker, you know, about your, like for you, it's food, right? And like, you have a unique perspective on that. How can you amplify that? So literally like last month, I sat down and wrote down, you know, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And just like, here's where I kind of want to see myself. And the platforms become, you know, agnostic. It almost doesn't matter. You can do it. You can have that conversation in book and, you know, entertainment and television, on YouTube, on a podcast. Sorry, you look like you had some thoughts on that too.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that point. For me, the future of YouTube is like, I don't see it ever getting any smaller. If anything, it's growing like faster than I've ever seen it right now, which is crazy. So for me though, it's like, I'm never going to stop doing YouTube, because that would be like career suicide. Like having that support and that base of people is amazing for all the stuff that I want to do, which like right now I'm branching out off of digital into more traditional things like television shows and movies. And I have a book that we're getting published, and you know, things that are just more traditional, which is really just fun.
The traditional loves your digital. Right. So they all,
the traditional loves the digital stuff. So it's, that really helps in that transition, where if you want to like branch out and do like, oh, I have an idea for a show, I'm going to go pitch it to Fox or something. They look at your social media following before they'll even look at your pitch. It's crazy.
So that brings up an interesting, going to what you're saying, my fear is also creating, putting value and relevance on numbers versus who someone is. Like, I look at the Times list of most influential, and the crazy thing is, yeah, some of them are celebrities with big numbers, and some of them are just people with great visions. My fear is becoming a society where we let go of the of putting importance on vision and creation, and it's all on numbers.
Yeah.
And so I think that
there's a Black Mirror episode about that.
Yeah, basically becoming like Black Mirror.
The likes episode where you.
Yeah, and so that's my fear, because if I look at the people that really made a difference in this world, they brought people together, right? And so, yeah, maybe I guess in the modern day context, that is followers, but it's beyond that. I think that, you know, Malala did not have followers when she did what she did. So what I'm hoping is that, you know, we can become a society that puts value on what a person does and how they give to others and what they create in that way, not just what they create that drives views and all that type of stuff. And then I also think we're gonna come to a place in 5 to 10 years where, while we're working with bigger companies, each person's individual vision is gonna have importance. So when you go and interview for a company, or you're part of, even though you're doing your own thing, but you're part of wherever, or you're still at OMD, right? Yeah, so you're at OMD. I think that they're gonna want to talk to you about your vision to be part of their greater vision. Your vision is just going to be just as important as the greater vision of a company. Whereas in the past, when they interview you, it'd be like, oh, what's your resume? What's this? What you're doing outside of all this and who you are is going to matter. And I think we're going to see that more and more, and that all being connected to what you're doing, whether it be part of a bigger brand or part of a bigger company. So, yeah, building your individual brand is just as important as building something bigger than that.
All right. Last but not least, tell us about Bentley.
Bentley is 8 months old.
It's Bentley Baker on Instagram.
Yeah. He's a golden retriever and he's single.
No, his balls have dropped.
Yeah.
We're not sure if we're going to neuter.
I think that might be the first time that phrase has been uttered on my show.
His balls have dropped.
Yes. That's, thank you.
Shira's very.
For that first ever.
Shira's very into his balls. Very. She just couldn't believe that they just appeared out of nowhere. It's like
I think we're out of time, Bart.
I think it's because I didn't have any like boys growing up. It was like we were all girls, and so I don't know. I'm very fascinated by his like male parts and like what's evolving.
This is great. I hope someone takes that sound bite.
It's a really good. You watched Joe Dirt, the scene where.
Oh man, I haven't seen that forever.
It was on last night. Anyway. There's a dog scene in there. Everybody, please give it up for Shira Lazar and Bart Baker.
Thanks, guys.
Woo! Appreciate it. Thank you.
This has been another installment of Innovation Crush, and we'll talk to you next time.
Stay awesome.
Yay.
Bye.